This is the Mo Gilligan Podcast. Sit tight, relax, and enjoy the Mo Gilligan Podcast.
Yes, what's going on, people? You are listening to the Mo Gilligan Podcast. This episode, I'm very excited to have Kayode on my episode. You know why? Yeah, because for so many reasons. One, like, we were talking that last week. Yeah. Spoke for like good 2 hours or something.
Good hour 20.
But that could have been an episode in itself.
It could have. It was fun. It was
funny. But also,
were you standing in? By the way, were you standing?
Yeah, I was standing up.
I was thinking. I said, on Zoom, are you standing? Because I was thinking you're a bit agile, but I didn't understand if you're standing or sitting.
Yeah, because I've got a desktop computer, but I don't have a chair for it. So I put it on the thing, but I prefer to stand.
Why?
I don't know. I feel more like
in it.
I've got
in
more. It. Yeah, I'm in the Zoom. Do you know what I mean? Zoom, if I'm zooming, Zoom, I'm standing. In the Zoom. If I'm chilling, I'm like, okay.
You're out of the Zoom. I hear.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm in the Zoom. Do you see what I'm saying?
I hear it.
But why I'm also excited, to have you on the pod. One, obviously, because we had that wicked chat last week. But two, you don't do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't, man.
And when I say that, right, don't do a lot of stuff, within this world of, entertainment, if you want to call it that, like, if there's like someone's birthday, you'll go to someone's birthday and you'll see someone there. You might not know, but we're like, I always say, like, within like black entertainment in the UK, everyone knows each other somehow, some way, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we have mutual friends in common.
Yeah.
But sometimes you think it's someone's birthday, someone's got a play or a film screening.
Yeah.
And I've never ever seen you there.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it's also like testament to your character. It's like, wow, he's very elusive, man. If you see this guy, you see him. If you don't, he's not around.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, hey.
And I think that's also what's why I was also like intrigued. And plus, to get you on the pod, because I was like, I know he doesn't even when I asked you, I felt nervous. I was like, would you like to do my podcast? Because I would love to get you on, man. But welcome to the Mo Gilligan Podcast.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Welcome, bro. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Yeah. I'm well. I had some good Nandos.
Yeah?
So I'm feeling excited. Have some good broccoli.
Yeah, that's what we do. So you're doing my podcast, bruv.
It was nice. It was good.
Let them know, bruv. We feed people on the pod. So, hit me. If you want to come on and that, get your grub on. You see what I'm saying, bruv?
It was beautiful.
You was mad healthy, though. You was doing sweet corns and that.
And corn on the cob.
Wedges and that.
Wedges didn't come, but okay.
Yeah. They don't do that.
It didn't come, but cool.
No, the man didn't know. What? Wedges? No, we don't sell this, man.
Yeah, that's fine.
But how's things your side, though? How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Keeping my head down. Kind of like writing stuff. Just being with the family, being with the missus.
Yeah.
Just keeping it quiet.
Because we were speaking last week and you said you're in this writing space.
Yeah.
Now, you had Enterprise, which was on BBC, BBC as well. Big up for that. Congratulations.
Cheers, mate.
Because I know how long and hard it takes to get any kind of sitcom onto a place of BBC or just in TV in general. So congratulations with that.
Thank you very much, bro.
And I really like the concept as well. It's a good concept.
Yeah.
It's different.
Do you know what it is? I'm even thinking, I think right now, the plan would be to try and adapt that for the States.
Okay.
I think it could be cool, man. Having two boys, one from like Chicago, one from the suburbs, getting together to try and run a business. Even if one girl, one boy, I don't know. But I think it did what it had to do here. I don't think it was a kind of show that was a hit box setting, hit da 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 da. But sometimes what I've realized, I think that's what I just needed to just kind of let people be like, oh, who's this kid? Like, what's this thing? What is he doing? What's happening? Oh, that's not Hood Doc or whatever. Like, he can write, story, narrative. He can write a story, ABC story he can write. So I was like, Enterprise was an experience, man.
Yeah.
But it's done now. I'm happy to move on.
Would you say there was pressure that came with Enterprise? Do you feel like people was like, oh, what's he doing? What's this?
You know what it is? I don't think so. I think at the beginning, there was this kind of, for my agents especially, I think, especially my acting agent, like, this is a chance for you to show that you're not a one-trick pony. I was like, I already knew that. So I don't think I need to show anyone that because I already knew that myself. So it was just about telling the right story. And I think I realized my kind of comedy is just like the surrealism. Atlanta was a big inspiration for Enterprise.
I was just going to say that.
That kind of surrealism, take you on a journey. This crazy thing happens, a guy on a horse appears, a fox is in your... That's my kind of vibe. I didn't think everybody would understand it or vibes with it, but that's fine. But it had its audience and people really vibes with it. So I was really happy.
And where would you say your strengths lie at the moment? Is it in the acting? Is it in the writing? Is it directing? Because I spoke to a friend, we got a mutual friend, Anthony.
Yeah.
I remember Anthony was telling me about you, actually, funny enough, saying, oh, he's very good at, like, just if it's working with someone on a character, that's what he's great at and stuff. And I was like, that's the director. That's he's doing that already.
It's interesting just because I think I just like making stuff, man.
Mm.
I just like a lot of my faith-based, so I have a faith-based production company and I direct a lot of that content.
Mm.
And I write, I might get some writers to jump on board and collaborate, but I like direct a lot of that content just because I just see it and understand it. But there are some things that I just say to myself, I think a direct, an external director would be better to handle this project. But where my strength lies is probably on screen in acting. I mean, growing up, I've always wanted to act. I've always said to myself, I wanted to be an actor. Mm. So I think my strength is in acting, but it's kind of changed over the years into just producing and writing. I realized as a producer, it's weird. In school, you never really get told what a producer does. No one really tells you about a producer or line manager and or line producer, what they do, or head of department. So I just realized, when we were talking as well, I realized, hold on, so you're a producer and you basically give ideas, you kind of maybe organize things, you kind 100%. Of bring people. I said, I know people that you don't know.
Yeah.
I can give ideas. You also went to uni, did a completely different degree that's in comparison to what you're doing now.
Yeah.
I think my degree is much more suited to produce anyway. Mm. And I realized I can actually produce. I can actually organize things and curate things and bring things together. So I just started to produce more and write more. And I'm happy there. It's not too loud there. I think acting sometimes a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of judgment, a lot of pressure. And sometimes I just like to just be behind the scenes and just write stuff. I like that idea of, hold on. So, you know, there's some producers and some writers are just, you're thinking, oh, that was a good film. Hold on. He wrote that.
Yeah.
And he's not in it. Nothing like that. I think that's 100%. The vibe I'm going for. Like, oh, Kaede wrote that. Oh, cool. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, move on.
Yeah.
That's my vibe.
I love watching something like a film. You know, like I watched this one film recently. Oh, it had, what's it called again? With the gems.
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems.
Great film.
Well, it's weird because that film made me mad anxious.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah.
So watching it, and I remember people talking about it, like, oh, this film, like, it makes you so anxious. And I remember watching it and I was like, I like films like this, but I don't like feeling like this.
Yeah.
But I think with any film, I do like a film that can provoke a reaction from myself.
Yeah. Like, good or bad, whatever that reaction may be. Yeah.
And for me, that's why I can then say, you know, that was a good film.
Yeah.
Whether the end, I don't agree with the ending personally. I'm not going
to
lie.
I think it had to, because it's a roller coaster, isn't it? I think the ending, for those that haven't watched it, I think the ending, it had, like, there was no other, like, reasoning. There was no other, like, conclusion. I think it had to end like that.
It did. But you know, when you watch something, you invest in it, you're like, oh, man, I'm going to bed anxious now. My chest is tight.
them ones.
But I watched another film recently,
mm-hmm.
and it had the guys in Vampire Diaries, and he's in a similar film. It's very,
what's it called?
I can't. This thing. I don't even know the name of the film, but it's the same director who made Uncut Gems. And that was that thing where I was like, who wrote this?
Who wrote this?
Because style, and then I was like, same person.
It makes sense. Yeah.
So is that what? I guess what I'm trying to say is that what you kind of want from life a little bit, to kind of stay in the background of producing and creating stuff, but also still have people really look for your work.
Do you know what it is? I don't, this may sound very, maybe very ignorant or may sound some way, but I don't really think I have a lot of personal like interest in the industry as much, you know? I don't really think like producing or writing, I want people to know that that's me, or I want people to be like, oh, this is Kaede with me style or whatever. I don't really think like that. I think I just, right now I'm doing this thing. My job could change it. I could become a teacher later on down the line and teach drama. I do a lot of writing workshops as well.
Yeah,
I could
yeah.
become a like head of department. I could just become a producer. I don't really think I'm even interested in like leaving a legacy when it comes to my job.
And why is just, that?
Because for me, it's a job, isn't it? I think I really enjoy it, but I think from just being with family and friends and life, and I do a lot of stuff in the church and getting involved in my faith, I just said to myself, like, this is just part of life. It isn't, like, one rule I always say to people anytime I'm running a workshop or whatever is, don't make a job like your whole life. Because if you kind of invest your happiness in, and your happiness is reliant on your job and what you do. When you're not getting any work, you're going to be sad and depressed.
Mm.
But then when you realize that I'm happy regardless, you know, then that's just the creme de la creme. You know, that's just it's just a bonus. So I just realized, I said to myself that I'm in it. You know, people are feeling me right now. People are, you know, commissioners want to talk to me, and people in America have been having me. I got American managers now. And I told them, like, you look, I may not be in this industry for long or whatever, who knows? They're just like, yeah, but we love UK and we think that. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
But this is my disclaimer. I said, record this Zoom meeting. So when I say, oh, I don't want to do it anymore, because that's how I am. Some, even like with RS or whatever, people just couldn't comprehend or fathom, why did he just leave it? Mm. Why did he whatever? But I'm just like, I just didn't want to do it anymore. I just want to keep it moving. So I think for me, I'm not really interested in, I want to leave a legacy. I just want to tell stories, and I want to just mentor the new generation who maybe don't have the mentors or don't have people, because a lot of people in the industry, and I think this may be, again, a very ignorant thing to say, but just from observing what's happening in the industry, I think predominantly black people, sometimes what can happen, and it's not for all, but when we're in the industry, because sometimes in the UK it's so scarce, when you get an opportunity to get your own show, it can be very closed off.
Yeah.
And be like, I'm doing it, and this is me, I'm not going to, you know, you do your thing. Yeah, bro, I give you a little retweet.
Mm.
But it's unfortunate that it's like that. And I think it also has something to do with the way the TV industry is kind of put together in the UK, in which is like, well, we're only going to give you a show. Yeah. And then that kind of tokenism vibe, then when you're finished, then we'll go to him. So then you're thinking, this is my chance. I can't really collaborate with Mandem because it's a lot about me. And if I bring him in, even though he's funny or even though he's a better actor, et cetera. So I just realized that no, it's not the right way to kind of move. Like, you know, reaching out to you or Munya or whatever, like it's love. It's all love, you know? And 100%. I think the younger generation should kind of look past that barrier and say, look, let's collaborate. Like, we were talking, you were just like, let's like keep on talking. Maybe me, you, Kael, David, like we'll meet on another Zoom and just think of ideas because that's how it should be. So I think for me, I'm more interested in that generation being like, yo, you don't have to segregate yourself because you're not even helping yourself.
Yeah.
Like I don't, like you said, I don't really go to a lot of functions or I'm not really around much because I just prefer to do other things.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean I wouldn't support those people's work who are at those functions. I would still be like, Samson Kayo has a show called Blood's Coming Out.
And it
looks very good. And I would happily reach out to him or Kael or all these other creatives in the industry to be like, what you're doing is great. I'm even annoyed that I didn't think of that because now you're inspiring me.
Mm.
You know what? But we don't have to be like the best of friends. It's still a job. I think there's that balance where people need to understand. So again, I'm not really interested in like leaving a massive legacy to anybody. I'm just interested in doing what I enjoy.
Yeah. But I definitely think from my point of view, your legacy with a show like RS and what you've done with that character, because the reason why I say that, you see that character, I first discovered it on Vine.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting about this time with Vine, which is different to TikTok, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, Vine and TikTok. Like, TikTok, you can have a profile.
Yeah.
And you can find people and you're like, okay, that's the guy who does this. I can click on it and find it. Vine didn't really have that.
Yeah.
Vine was like, the video was bigger than the person.
Yeah.
So I would come across people and I'm like, rah, this guy's sick. Who is this guy?
Done.
And that's it.
Elusive thing.
My 6 seconds is done. I don't know who he is. Can I find him on Twitter? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Whereas TikTok, I can go there. I find your bio. Okay, that's your Instagram. That's that. Oh, rah, you follow my Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Mm. But the reason why it was so sick, because I think the first ever clip I ever seen you do, I think it's when the car stalls.
Yeah.
And as soon as I seen that, I was like, oh, that's bare funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's so simple.
Yeah.
And for me, it was, you know, I think comedy, especially in the UK and black comedy, when we tried to create stuff, that was at a time where we were looking at what the Americans were doing.
Yeah.
And their Vines was a mad thing.
They're gone.
They were doing Vines all together, collaborating.
And they were
just quick and they was banging them out. Whereas now I'm seeing stuff like, That's real British stuff, stalling the car. I know it happens everywhere in the world.
Sure.
And then there was one where I think you was in an area and he's like, you don't even live around here or something.
Yeah.
It's all those things where when I'm seeing this, I'm like, whoa, this is our thing.
Yeah.
And it's the first time I really started seeing comedy, which was like, for our millennial generation, that this is ours.
Yeah.
So if Americans watch this, they need to understand it and get it.
Yeah.
If you don't get it, that's cool.
That's fine.
If you do, it's jump us on board.
Yeah.
And the reason why I think, for me, it was such a big turning point is because there were so many people to come out around that Vine time, like Tommy Mucci, for example.
Big up Tom. Yeah.
There was Big Tipper, for example. Big
Tipper, Olofi, Tommy, just loads
of people. Yeah, loads of people was coming out, but with Instagram hadn't blew up then, so you couldn't go and find people.
Yeah.
But I think you was a huge pioneer in that because you were showing a level of British comedy from my millennial generation that I hadn't seen. Yeah. It wasn't Africans versus Jamaicans.
Yeah. Which we were tired of African accent.
Like, it was almost like cool to make your, like, it was cool to laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
And I think this is why it was so important. When you say, you know, I don't want to leave a legacy, like you have a strong legacy.
Yeah.
And I think it's always better when people tell you about your legacy.
Yeah.
You say,
I think that's, but I think that's, I mean, like, testament to what you're saying. I think that's true. It's like, I'm not really focused on that.
Yeah.
But if I've left one, I mean, if it helps you to create something, if someone says to me, when 100%. I watched RS, I wanted to make this show or that show, like, that's great. You know what I mean? When I watched Tom Mucci's Vines, and I said, like, this guy's, like, on all that expensive family, Tommy and me expensive, Archie expensive. I said, this is sick. Like, the same feeling 100%. You felt, you know, but I'm not sure if he wanted to leave a legacy. But again, to what you're saying, yeah, I don't really think about it. And I'm not saying that, like, I don't, like, you know, erase a legacy or, am I leaving a legacy? I got to change jobs, you know? Yeah. That's not my, I'm not making a conscious decision to be like, don't leave a legacy.
100%.
But I'm not focused. It's not my intention.
But honestly, like, I remember, like, seeing those early Vines and everything about me was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Because I think, do you know what it was? I think Tom... But when I first seen the Vines, I would look and I'm like, that's in Peckham.
Yeah.
That's Old Kent Road. I know.
Yeah.
And it was mad because most of the time when you grow up in these areas, Camberwell, Peckham, Brixton, whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone's always got a mutual friend of someone else I know my man. I've seen him.
Yeah.
I've seen him walk down the road. I was like, it was bugging me. I was like, who's this brother? Mm. He's got a leather jacket on with the African thing. And obviously there was the massive resemblance when you had the moustache. It's like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
And then the high top, and I was like, this comedy is different. I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
But it was also massively inspiring because what it let me do is like, okay, because I was not in a space of doing videos at that time. I was doing stand-up.
Yeah.
But it gave me the license of like, you know, stand-up, I will easily make jokes about myself, but cutting that into a video, which doesn't have a before and there's no after.
Mm.
You're seeing 6 seconds of this scene.
Goodbye.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And that for me was the first thing that I'd seen someone do. I was like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
What that guy's doing is top tier.
Yeah, man.
Do you know what I mean? Like what you were doing was like top tier with 6 seconds, no beginning, no after, no, this is me as the character. This is the scene. It was literally someone walking around. Yeah, this is where I live, man. Hey, man, we don't live around here, man.
It was
done.
It was a mad time. And again, testament, I can't take all the credit because Terrell Williams, who we grew up together and he actually, that was his car, you know, and I was trying to shoot a Vine, a different Vine with my account. And then he made a suggestion to like store the car.
Mm.
And I just took off I took off my shirt.
Yeah.
And I had that Africa chain on that my mom got for me from Dubai like 2 weeks prior.
Yeah.
And I was just in the car and he just recorded it and it was just funny. And then we just went on this journey together, even with Hood Doc. And then Ray, who was at my uni, came along. So even that whole journey with Hood Doc, anytime I hear people talking about it, I always think about those two guys because they were such an integral part of that process.
Yeah, 100%.
And it wasn't, I didn't think of stealing the car. You know, Terrell literally said, why didn't you store the car? Like those deluded olders on the end. So just like, yeah, wagwan. And I said, okay, cool. And I just put on the lisp. And I just put on, like it was just in a moment. Like someone says to you, oh, act like you're a weird guy in the street. Just do something strange. You don't know what you're going to do. You know what I mean? I just did something random. And then that's what changed my life. So again, like big love to Terrell and to Ray, who, you know, and again, these guys are doing, Terrell directing some mad stuff in theater, Ray's shooting some crazy stuff. So
it
really opened doors for a lot of us.
And I could tell because what you guys are doing now, like you're saying what everyone else is doing, it's always really like encouraging, like there is no I in team. So it's like you can do your project, they can do your project.
Yeah.
Everyone's working in some aspect.
Yeah.
And no one's been like left out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I can concentrate with this, you can do that.
Yeah.
Like, but I think what was also nice to see with Hood Doc is that, again, that's our thing in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because so many times it's very easy for us to look at, you know, I always say like America export entertainment, entertainment, sport, food to the world. You can go anywhere in the world and they know what French fries are. And they say, where are French fries from? And I'm saying, they're from America. Even though they call French fries.
Yeah.
Because they really do export everything that they have. Mm-hmm. A hamburger. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, bro, it's a beef burger, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's beef in it. Beef and ham are two different things. From where we're from. If I'm saying, do you want a hamburger? You're like, hamburger? What are you talking about? It's a hamburger. Let me just get a little cheeseburger, bro. But I think, like, in terms of entertainment, they export it to the world, but this became our thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even with Hood Doc, I remember watching it and I was like, I get it, but I don't get it.
I think
that's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes watching it and I was like,
what is this?
I was like, this is so simple, but so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you stopped doing it. What was that like? Like, because every part of me sometimes, I sit there and I'm like, one day I've got to stop one of these characters.
Yeah.
Cavani's mum, Cavani, Roadman, Jesus. Like, I've got to grow up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
People love them.
Yeah.
But you was at a different space because you was at the height.
Yeah.
Of this character that we all loved. Mm-hmm. You know, you've done Hood Doc 1, Hood Doc 2, yeah. And we all loved it.
Yeah.
And then that was it. You just said, you man, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your decision in doing that?
So do you know what it was? So we did Hood Doc 1, Hood Doc 2, then we went to BBC 3 Online and we did those 5-minute pilots and then they were just like, let's go for a 30-minute script and go for a series. And I think I was at a point where, again, because it's my job and not my life, I'm at a point where if I'm working at a company and I'm just like, well, I've been working as a general manager for a year, I want to move to another company, I will move. No, I don't care what salary you give me.
Mm.
I don't care what you know perks you give me. If I want to leave Vodafone and go to Carphone Warehouse, I will go to Carphone Warehouse.
Yeah.
So and obviously it's hard when people are it's not just me. Like, you know, Tara and I were on this journey together, and Ray also as well were on this journey together. But I think it's all about you first. I think you have to think about yourself first before anything.
Mm.
Personally, some may say it's different. Yeah. Some may say, oh no, and I think it's important that when you're creating and when you're making things, you have to challenge yourself.
Mm.
I think it's really important to challenge yourself. And
definitely.
And sometimes, like, so even like, even I know we were all talking about boxing prior and listening in on that. And sometimes it's unfortunate. That's when you see, like, you know, boxers, it's entertainment, isn't it? That's taking a boxing match for the money.
Mm.
And you realize it just becomes like money. Like, even like music, it just becomes like whatever. You know, this is going to bang, that's going to bang. But when you reach all your hit all your bangers, you realize I'm not a good rapper. I've lost. You know what I mean? You can make hits. It's like, oh, that's going and going. But like, this is not what I want to do. You know, I don't just want to just like, just, you know, I also love dramas. I also love writing dramas and thrillers. You know, I love, like, you can ask my cousin, I'll constantly just be asking him questions, and my siblings, like, I have this idea, that idea, this idea. So for me, I just said to myself, this is great, it's nice, but I need to challenge myself and I need to get out when I can.
Yeah.
I think, have you seen that show? Is it called Jungle Run? When we were younger, CITV, Jungle Run.
Oh, yes.
Where you go into the last round, you go into the belly of this thing and you get all the gold and you come out. Yeah. But when you try and get too much gold, the belly closes and then you're locked in.
Mm.
And that's the analogy I would always use for my career, saying I've got what I needed. And let me, even if the belly hasn't closed yet, it's fine. Like, let me get what I need to move. And with Hood Doc, a production company came, you know, I got more contract, enterprise was birthed from that. So I just said, let me just get what I need from this and just keep it moving. And a lot of the time when you make sacrifices, you become much more attractive. It's really interesting. Same, like, you know, if you like a girl, she likes you. Oh, can I want to be with you? I'll think about it. It's like, oh gosh, like, what the hell? What do you mean she thinks, man, you've got a group chat, she'll think about it. What the hell? Because it's attractive. Even she's paying hard to get, you know, whatever. Yeah. But if you like her, you're invested in this girl and you're talking to her and whatever, it's attractive rather than just like, there you go, you can have it. Because when you, after, even though you get it, after you have it, that's like, nah. And that's the problem, especially in the UK, especially in within the community. Sometimes I feel like when we get it so easy, we're just like, nah, he was funny, but nah, I'm bored now. Remember, that's what we were talking about.
100%
talking. You give them, it's like, we want more RS. You give it to them. That was dead.
Yeah.
I don't, it's a bit awkward now. Now someone's new. I'm thinking,
No, but I did it for you lot. I did it for you, man. But nah. So I'd rather not even sing to your tune. I'll do what the hell I want to do.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, no, no. I'd be like, oh, shut up. You know when I bring something out, if you like it, you like it, innit? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like, man. Oh, I've created this nice burger. Oh, we're not going to get no more that chicken filet burger. Oh, hold that new chicken supreme thing.
Mm.
That's nice still. Like, okay, well, I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
That's how it's fickle. The industry is very fickle. So I don't play the game. I just say, look, I'll do what I want to do and keep it that way. If you don't want to follow me anymore, you don't want to watch my stuff anymore, it's fine. It's fine. That's how it is.
In terms of with the character, when you was at the height of it, did you get any mad offers for you to like bring it back, brands contact you or anything like that?
So I don't drink.
Yeah.
So people like would hit my agent, like a lot of people like, oh, vodka, all these brands like Smirnoff and all these kind of people were just saying, oh yeah, Budweiser, Ken K, like here's the money. And you know, it's funny, we're having a conversation about, you know, people that are rich in it during COVID, you know, and you know, are they really feeling it? Like some other people are feeling it. And at that time, I wasn't rich, you know, I'm still not rich, you know, but I didn't have like a lot of money. And I was just like, wow, like, these are like mad. Like 25 bags, you know, 30 bags, just like 30 grand to do like an advert, or 35 to do an advert, or 20 grand for this and whatever as your character. And I was just like, I could do this and get the money, but how would I feel putting on that jacket? Sometimes I feel like I end up feeling like a, like, what's the word? Like a, and not in a racial, like racial term or racial slur word, or I'm not trying to be offensive, but almost like a monkey. Even if the crew is black or whatever, not regardless of who I'm performing for, but I feel like I'm putting on the jacket just to make you laugh again and then take it off, get the money. Then I go home and I'm like, you know, have you seen the Joker?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, just putting that face on, ha ha, go home, then I'm just depressed. I just say to myself, I remember when I looked at the jacket for the last time, it's my dad's jacket. So I remember when I looked at the jacket for the last time, I said to myself, this jacket, like, we're finished, man. I was talking to my jacket. I said, look, we come to the end of the road. And he wasn't talking back, obviously, that would be judged. But, you know, just like, you know, I was like, yeah, we're coming to the end of the road with this jacket. And I just said, I'm done. So for me, there was offers, so financial offers, there was offers with contracts or book offers on the table. But I just got to that point when I realized that it just wouldn't feel right, man. There's something quite weird where, I'm not sure if you felt like this as well, bro. Like where, you know, similar to this setup, you go on stage, you know, I'm not sure if you know, like imagine having like a weird, imagine someone whispers to you before you do a show, right? This is a crazy example, but you know.
I'm here for your analogies and stuff though, and stories.
Imagine someone said to you, like before you're going to go out, hey Mo, and when you go out, make sure you tell all your black jokes today because you have this person in the audience, that person in the audience, okay? And when you go and say, maybe you can do a bit of like a little bit of a Harlem shake. What do you call it? Harlem shake. Do a bit of that. Yeah. All right. Good job. And you go on stage and you just see the audience and you're thinking, nah, like, I feel like I'm a mug. Yeah. And you're doing it. You're just like, yeah, guys, like, you're doing a Harlem shake. You're doing your black. And you're thinking, and you're hearing the laughter, like, ha, 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 ha. And it's like this. Like, you're laughing at me now, like, it's not even,
you're not laughing
with me. And I think 100%. that's how I would have felt with RS, where I'm just like, nah, like it's just not feeling the same anymore. When T and I did it, it was fun. We had fun making the characters, we enjoyed it. We were laughing, we were crying, like it was hilarious. But then it got to a point and I said to myself, this is becoming a chore, this is becoming a burden, and I've got so many things in my locker that I want to show. So maybe I'll get out at this point. And everyone went into hysterics. My agent was just like, what do you mean? It's done. Like, what's happening? Even my parents were just like, are you okay? Like, what's happening? My friends
were
just like,
so were your parents aware of your success with the character?
I think they began to become aware when people started knocking at my door.
Oh, wow.
So I made a schoolboy error, right?
Yeah.
So I shot one of the scenes outside my house.
Okay.
So what happened, and around my area,
Yeah.
I don't think we listen to this, but there's a dealer.
Yeah.
Around my area, right?
Yeah.
People always pick up from him.
Yeah.
He doesn't live too far from me.
Yeah.
So when people pick up, because he wants to show off, they're just like, hold on, brother. Hold on. I love it. Yeah, got that cue. Yeah, love. I swear that's all right. It's like, yeah, he lives down there still. Like, yeah, man. This is the end, bro. Like, this is, and they're like, wow, like, yeah, that's just down there. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll just be like, hi. And dad would be like, hello, it's RS here.
So what, your mum and dad didn't answer the door?
They just, I don't think they realised how crazy it was, because they just knew that me and Terrell be editing in my house till late. They were like, what, like Terrell, I mean, Terrell, you know, we grew up together, like, why you're always here late at his house, or you're like, what's happening? Where's the job, Kayode? I'm just like, yeah, mum, I'm working on it. You know, whatever, cool.
Yeah.
And then randomly, my dad, I posted a picture of him online. I think at graduation.
Yeah.
And he said that he came home and he said to my mom, he said, like people are asking me to take pictures today on the street. Like, are you RS's dad? He said, I had to run. He said, what? He said, I had to duck out. I think he went somewhere. Yeah. He went somewhere and was like, kind of like, yeah, like, it was a bit mad. Yeah. I think they understood. They said, this thing you're doing. And I think then they started to jump online. When my parents started to jump online, the game changed. They were like,
yeah,
oh, like, my son is doing well. But then they'll start to like add comments like, don't, what do you mean? Like, what are you trying to say about my, yeah, yeah, like, my dad, yeah, yeah. I think that was
on the YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, be like, oh, don't say that about you. He hasn't fallen off. Anyway, and then, and then,
I was getting at the trolls. Go on, Dad. Go on.
And then what happened was that they just started realizing, like, I think they started to, it started to seep in, like, in a very slow way, where they'll be like, I'm going out. I'll be like, you can't wear that. So I'd be like, oh, mom, dad, I'm going out. They'd be like, oh, you can't wear that. I'd be like, why, dad? You're a celebrity now. Like, what are you talking about? And I think they realized when I went on, like, BBC was on TV, when I was on TV with BBC and stuff, they realized that, okay, this kid is getting serious now. And people start knocking on my door. People start chasing buses. People start chasing buses. Like, one, I remember there was this event. I went to the Mobo. I think it was the pre-party. This is when I actually knew. I think I first met Zalika, Zizi.
Yeah.
When I met Zizi, I went there, right? And it was the weirdest experience. And rest in peace, Cadet was there as well. And he showed some love as well. Like, lovely guy. And it was a weird experience just because no one had ever seen me in the flesh.
Yeah.
So everyone's moving weird around me. Mm. Everyone's just like, oh, what's he like? Like, is he funny in real life or whatever? Yeah, I feel like when people see me, it's almost a feeling of, you know, getting, you see an advert of like a Beyblade and you let it rip and he doesn't really do anything.
Yeah.
And that's the same feeling they have with me.
Yeah.
Like, why is he not, why he hasn't got a lisp? Like, why is he not saying these jokes? Why is he, what's wrong with this guy? Or whatever. And then we start having a conversation. And I remember that day, one girl, this one part of the kind of Kayode Chronicles. So one girl was just like, she came up to me. She was just like, I don't know who this girl is till today.
Mm.
I don't know if she was a spirit. I don't know what happened, but I don't know who this girl was, yeah? Mm. She was just like, oh, like, are you? Like, yeah, what's going on? You good? She's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's funny, like, one of my friends said that we'll be a good couple. Like, I don't know what she's talking about. I just thought we'd be a good couple.
What?
And I said, yeah. And I just walked off. I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking, because a lot of girls didn't approach me.
Yeah.
I didn't really get approached by a lot of girls, believe it or not, but I didn't really get approached by a lot of, I think they just thought like, yeah, he's funny and he's a bit, he thinks he's nice. Like, I'm not sure, do you get tomatoes sometimes? Yeah.
Yeah.
And like girls, like, will try and act like they can't see you. Sorry. Because they feel like, it's like to belittle you, to be like, don't think cause you're Mo that you're bad, like you're nobody.
Yeah. Well, do you know what it is? What's funny about that is when you do stand up, unless say I've had a good set,
yeah,
I've smashed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comedians have this thing where when we perform, we come off stage, I know I've smashed it. I know that I had 400 people in here right now all laughing. I know this.
Yeah, we know.
So then when the show's done, this is when you're still trying to make a name for yourselves, mainly at black shows.
Yeah.
And people walk past you like you didn't just make them laugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this is more like, this is definitely more in London.
Yeah.
So I've smashed the show in London. It could be Hackney Empire. Yeah.
Killed it.
So I've gone to check my friend at the door. Bruv, sick show, man. Really loved it, bro. Oh, man, when you told that joke, man. And everyone, and I'm not expecting them to say anything.
Yeah, of course not.
But man will be like, sorry, brother. Man, sorry, you need a door. Sorry, brother. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right, yeah, cool. Like,
yeah.
I'll move out of the way. Like,
yeah.
But it's one of them things where I think when you go outside of London, there's the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. So you perform, you got people from Manchester. Yo, mate, I love that joke you done, mate. The road, man, fucking hell, mate, amazing. But then I don't know if it's a London thing though.
I think a lot of us in London, because when you actually go around the UK, people show love, you know. I think a lot of us in London feel like we're bad, like we're the baddest. We feel like, yeah, we're everything, like we're proper, like even like during like the what's it called again? When before Brexit, when everyone's voting and stuff, you know,
the election.
Yeah, the election. Thank you. We thought that like Labour's gonna win because London was predominantly Labour. Like we've gone clear, but they forgot about Cheshire, about Lincolnshire, about all them shires, Hampshires. They forgot about all the shires. They didn't realise. I think we can be in a bubble sometimes as London. Like we're the best, like we're everything, but I think we're really ignorant sometimes. So we're really up ourselves sometimes, and it's unfortunate. But it's that same thing of when you know you've killed it. Like people, look, I have a high top, you know, like there's a line in my hair. We both know. I'm not trying to hide it.
And you're not trying to say to people, look, it's me.
I'm not trying to do that. I'm walking, but they're just like, sorry, brother. Sorry, 1 minute. Hold on. Are you?
That's the most lovely thing ever.
And then you say to them, they're like, because you don't want to say, enterprise, you don't know, so you're just like, I don't know, mate. Are you from the same area? No, I'm from Edmonton. I'm from the nine. Hold on, hold on. Yeah, you're my man. I'm like, but that's him and Chantel. So you've seen the show, you know it's me. Like, stop being, oh, Chantel, bro, why did she do that to you, bro? Like, let me get a picture, man. But it's like, why are you doing this? Like, you know, we both, and it's painful. Or sometimes, I don't like it when people are sometimes they make me into a monster and I have to become the monster you want me to be. So I remember I went somewhere and the girl just like, this girl, I know this girl from like my primary school. You know it's me. And she's just like, I came in now, innit? And obviously I'm now, you know, putting a bit and I'm enjoying my life, walking in there. I've come in, that's like, oh, my boy's birthday. So, and he's like a childhood friend. So I said, I'm going to go, you know, I've gone to birthday, whatever. I've come now, I'm just like, hello to people, whatever. People are trying to hear me and that. I was like, hello, you all right, girls? Like, yeah, you all right? Like, yeah. Thinking, what's going on? So I'm walking around. And I see one girl just like, oh, I'm like, how you doing? She's like, oh, like that. You put on pair, mate. Like, I'm thinking, I'm making money. What can I do? You know? You know what I mean? I'm thinking, well, you lost it. Are you depressed? You know, like, what the hell? Like, what do you, like, don't make me into Frankenstein, because I'll be that guy, you know? I'll, you know what I mean? I'll do the ticker, be the carting. You know, I'll walk to my car and do the tick-tick so you can see that I got, don't try and make me to be a monster, which a lot of people like try and do. They try and act a bit like bougie and try and belittle you a little bit. I'm just like, why do you, and I feel like, I honestly feel like there's a lot of us black people, we do it to each other, which is unfortunate. I think a lot of the time where we can be a bit like, it's like, It's two ways. It's almost like when we show love, we show love. When we don't show love,
Because we can show love.
We can, and it's amazing.
Man's wearing the Paradas. Look at my man. My man's making better money. And that's our ultimate love, innit?
That's love. We can show love.
That's like banter love. Man, let you, or the opposite of that is just like, swear down. Jesus, so what, you just go Selfridges now though, You can't invite man in that. I would invite you, but you know what I'm saying? You can't really get in there with a beat up Reeboks. And you know when everyone's laughing and now my man's like, he has a pussy old blood. Why has got this man's Reeboks?
It's
a man's workouts.
But I think that spectrum is mad though, where they'll show better than it's like, they just don't, I don't really, whatever. But when people do show love, they show mad
it's
love.
Like, it's like the ultimate love. Or like the ultimate, it's like shade.
Yeah, it's a bit. Yeah, man. And I'm just like, oh, like, how can we just be cool? But I also like, it's like, it is what it is, isn't it? I don't really think about that too much. I just kind of crack on with things. But it's, for me, it's love regardless, man. I just always try and, I would always go up to somebody that I admire and be like, I admire your work, you know? Like, I really, like, can I get some advice about how you do this thing? I think the new generation now, our mentality is a bit warped where it's about the finance now. Like, I would go and do a talk with young people and people would be like, oh, can I have any questions? Go for it. Yeah, so like, how much do they pay you? Like, BBC pay you in that?
I've done a couple workshops. That's like,
and I'm thinking like, okay, great. Question. And I think, great, anybody interested in being an actor? Anybody want to send me some scripts? You know, what the heck? You know what I mean? But I think my generation, like I'm way younger, but I think that there's been some people that have come up to me and be like, they've been like, hey, like Kaede, you know, can I, like, I have this idea for this thing. I don't know, have you got any advice? And I always take people's numbers. Like, a lot of people have my number. Mm. It's so mad. At the beginning, they used to prank call me, but they stopped prank calling me because they realized that I was just boring. Mm. They can't prank call me. Or I just I put on a sermon.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right, cool. Yeah. So what I'll be doing? So they'll be like, Chantel, the lock up. I'll be like, okay. They'll be like, the RS. I'll be like, for Wagwan. And then I'll be like, okay, 1 minute, hold on. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 2, that if you love the Lord, you'll be like, hello. And that's it. So wherever you are, believe in the word of God. Like, hello. You didn't know about that. Yeah. They get in the word. But I'm hoping that someday somebody could be like, I gave my life to Jesus when I called RF. That's the plan. You silly kids. That's the plan. Hear the word of God.
You can't prank call me. That's a way to flip a prank call, but
yeah, I just put on the sermon. I just put it there.
What am I doing my life, man? Yeah. Selling these drugs to the kids, man. Nah, bro. Man's going to church in the morning, cuz. What do you mean, bro? And I have to go back tomorrow and buy my suit, bro.
That's what I'm hoping for one day, man. hasn't happened yet.
Get your snacks, chill out, and enjoy the Mo Gilligan podcast.
How has your faith affected your work? Is there ways where you're, you know, because some people are faithful, but they
there's separation.
Like, faith is work.
I think for me, like, faith is the foundation of my life, isn't it? So I'm always being conscious. Like, I don't really curse. I don't really, there's things that I don't decide not to watch or whatever. Like, you know, for example, I think everybody has like their own conviction. As a Christian, I say there are some Christian actors who say, I'm fine doing the sex scene. I'm like, it's a sex scene, innit? Like, I'm fine. Like, it's not me, whatever, cool. There's that kind of barrier where they say, look, there's a separation. It's I'm doing this, but whatever, cool. There are some actors who say they're not comfortable doing it because rare, et cetera, et cetera. For me, there are things that I just don't do and I just won't compromise on. And people know that that's me. I don't really like to curse a lot or whatever. Mm. Like, if there is a sex scene, I'll try and shoot in an interesting way. And I think somebody like Denzel Washington, he's mastered that, where you will see maybe before a kiss or you see after when they wake up, you don't see them actually him thrusting on a woman. You know, I think he's mastered that in a very beautiful way, but you still feel the same thing. Or you still say to yourself, yeah, they had sex. Cool. Like, you get it. It wasn't like, how come they ain't really kissed and they're married and that? Like, you understand it. Mm. But I think for me, when it comes to my foundations, my faith, I always say to myself, look, everybody do what you want to do. Like, just don't feel like, if your conviction telling you not to do it, then don't do it. But if you feel comfortable doing it, I can't say to another man, don't do that. I don't know what God is saying to him. I'm not his God, yeah. But I know what God is saying to me. And I stay in that lane. And I just try and be sensible what I'm doing, because I also think I have to be wise and be honest. Because as a Christian, I'm always honest, and I say to myself, as I'm on my phone, yeah, like, these busted challenges that I'm seeing, yeah, like, it's not helping me, innit? Like, and I just keep, you know what I mean? I keep it real. I don't be like, yeah, man not really tempted, and I just keep it real and say, look, like, this thing I'm watching is not really helping me. Let me just keep it moving. Or this show that I'm watching, I'm fast forwarding it bare, like, but it's not even an engaging show anyway, so I don't even want to watch it. Mm. I always say to myself, what is this doing for me? How is it helping me? Things that I listen to, things that I watch, I'm very cautious. Like, my cousin can tell you, like, when he puts on certain song, I'm just like, turn this off, man. Like, who is this? I'm just like, oh, who is that? Like, who is this person? Like, what's that? But I don't judge people for what they listen to.
Yeah.
I just say, I don't listen to this. That's fine. I might be like, oh, this person is very gifted as a musician. What they're saying, I don't condone, but I can still acknowledge that they're a good artist. But some Christians will be like, nah, like, he's dead. He's not even good. Turn it off, man. But you know he's good. He's a lyricist. Yeah. Like, he's very good. Kendrick is amazing. You know what I mean? Like, you know this guy is good. Let's stop being like weird. But I'm just quite practical and honest with commissioners and like friends, like even Kyle with her writing stuff. I'll be like, I don't want to swear in it. Like, how else can we tell the story? Mm. How else can we be smart in it? And I look after a lot of young people in church. So I'm a youth leader then, and it's something that I'm really invested in, and it's changed my whole perspective on life and how I view life and how I view young people and how people think. And I think it would be a bit confusing to them if they see me like, you know, giving it to a girl from the back, you know, and I'm preaching on a Sunday. Yeah. You know, I'll just they'll be like, boo, get off. You know what I mean? They'll be a bit confused. I'm dead doing it. I'm just like, yeah, take it. I'm just like, take out your offering and let's get, you know, that's, you know, they'll be like, bro, that same hand you're like, oh, I'm praying for somebody, like God, and like you fingered that girl in that scene. So I think it can be a bit confused, but it's the truth. Like, it's just a bit confusing for them. Yeah, so I said to myself, I don't want to confuse them. Somebody else cannot have a conviction to do that scene and be like, I'm fine, it's my job. But for me, I don't want to confuse that young person to be like, oh, that means it's fine to have sex before marriage. That means it's fine to do these things. Or, oh, because he's doing whatever, that means it's fine. I'd rather be like, if you see me as something and I'm preaching the word, I just want to be, you know, I just want to keep it. I want you to see Christ, you know? So
transparency.
Yeah, that's it. That's the right word. You know, I want to be transparent to be like, I want you to see Christ, and I don't want anything I'm doing as an artist, as a creator, to get in the way as to why you're even in church. It's to get to know him, to build that relationship. And if I come in the middle of that because of what I'm doing, and you start to love me more and follow me more than Christ, and I've messed up and I'll be held accountable. So I'd rather just say, look, I'll sacrifice certain roles just to be transparent and for them to know.
Yeah, God. 100, man. Also, I want to say thank you for doing my documentary. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you for giving me the call up. I felt honestly good.
Like, because one, we made that documentary in a very short space of time. That for me was a huge passion project. And I had to tell the story in 52 minutes of my journey through comedy. You know, the greats, Angie Lamar, Slim, Richard Blackwood, all these people that have inspired me in so many ways, but also big up this new young generation whose comedy is different. It is online. So having you, you know, in that was like a huge honor.
Thanks.
So bro, yeah, thanks I don't think me, I really got to say thank you.
No. Thanks for reaching out to me, bro.
Like, and one bit I really liked in it, and we kind of used it as like the tagline for the promo, was when you said, you know, I didn't go to uni to become a meme.
Yeah.
And how did that meme affect your life? Because you know what it is with memes, yeah? People who do, like, you do comedy, you're a creative or whatever. If you're in this, you know, you're a YouTuber, whatever you do, right?
Sure.
Everybody wants to become a meme.
Yeah.
Because we know how big a meme can get.
Yeah.
But then no one knows the implications of bro. When the lights go off.
Yeah, man.
And the meme is still running.
Yeah.
So how was that for you? How did that impact you?
I didn't really pay attention to it. Because I think during that time, I was even off social media.
Yeah.
When it kind of went woof, I think I came off for a while. I only came on because of Enterprise. To do the promo for Enterprise. Because BBC's audience isn't, my audience isn't BBC Three's audience. They don't really follow them. So I have to be like, hey guys, Future Dr. Tequila, ZZ Mills, hey guys, this is what I'm doing. Because the first one, it didn't get to be seen. And people just, I don't know what's happening. So I came on just because of that. I didn't even have Instagram prior to like last year. I just didn't have all these socials.
Yeah, you wasn't on anything.
So yeah, I wasn't on anything. Yeah, yeah. So I said to myself, if I want to, you know, if I want to continue a career, I need to use what I have, which is my socials. And I think that there's a power in that as well. Like this new wave of people online who are making money online and who are just doing their thing. But with the meme, it didn't really, and now I'm having a lot of meetings abroad in LA and stuff. And they're just like, oh, we've seen Hood documentary, man. Da, da, da. And that meme, my gosh. Like, da, 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 da. I'm just like, yep. I'm just like, just give me the contract. Yeah. Let's give us my, I could talk about the meme. But let's talk about the, you know, that's fine. I realized that it's just whatever. If it's opening the door, let's open that door. So it didn't really have much of an effect on me like that. I mean, people are just like, oh, Drake tweet this and that, or Drake did all these kind of things. And I'm just like, cool, no problem. I didn't really engage in it. I didn't milk it, didn't tweet it or anything like that, because I realized that that's doing what it needs to do. It's interesting when you can have things that just like do what they need to do, you know? Like, it's like getting royalty money from a show you did in 1993 and like, oh, that made money again. You know, that kind of vibe where I'm just like, oh, Hood Doc is circulating again. Okay, Graham Delivery posted it. And I love Hood Doc. Like, I won't lie to you, RS is an amazing character. I enjoy watching it. So even the meme, I'm just like, oh, that's quite, some of it was quite funny. I was like, oh, that's quite funny, whatever. Oh, that's quite cool. But I just didn't really invest in it as much. But it did make the Americans say, oh, where's this from? Who's this kid?
Yeah. 100%.
And then they're just like, Hood Doc? What's Hood Doc? Like, why haven't we heard of Hood Doc? Like, what's that? Oh, all right. Don't really hear, I don't know what to say. Ralph and them, man. Ralph and them. These guys, what? They kind of jumped on that wave and I got a bit more love actually from the Americans. It's funny, I think, even the likes of like people like LMA, for example, right? When no one's really feeling her hair or whatever, like it wasn't really working for her hair. We can forget that America's a whole different playing field, a whole different world. And you can have all your stuff you're doing here. But as soon as the Americans say, who is that? They take it to the World Cup. So I think now I'm going through that second wave where I'm having meetings with people, and now they have Enterprise, that have 10 episodes of Enterprise, season one, season two, Hood Doc on BBC Three, Hood Doc Online, and they're just, and the meme, and a plethora of work from me, and they're seeing this library of Kaede, who's also a Christian, is like philanthropy. We like that. He stands for something, you know? So they're seeing this, they're like, why haven't we seen this kid before? Whatever. This Hood Doc thing, whatever. The meme, and I'm saying to myself, wow, like, as Londoners or as British people, we can think that it stops and ends. It starts and ends here.
Mm.
But that's a lie. Like, it goes beyond and beyond and beyond, you know? And it's a blessing that they can, even though they're maybe 4 years late, it's a blessing that they can jump on it and still show love and understand the nuances and the style. Because I think comedy is universal. Now, I'm not sure if you agree that,
100%, you know, yeah, man.
If someone drops on the floor, and I'm not sure people laugh at people buckling, I do at times, God forgive me, but if someone drops and it's funny, you can't deny that, oh, that was a bit, the way she screamed was a bit, man, random. You know, even though you don't know what language she's speaking or what she's saying, if it's French, Chinese or whatever,
yeah,
the gesture, the gesticulations is still humorous.
Mm.
So I think they don't understand what RS is saying a lot of the time, but they appreciate that, okay, this kid is funny.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of love.
So is your plan to really conquer America, would you say, in the next couple of years?
I think there's two things I want to do in America. I have like two ideas. There's one idea I'd love for a production company I'm talking to over there to have and try and see what I can do. And hopefully maybe develop Enterprise and adapt that, because the product is already there and it works. We've moved this audience, you know?
Yeah.
So it works. And those are the two things, but I don't think I'll probably go there and like live there or whatever. I don't think, apart from those two things, I don't think I have any interest in, like, oh, for now anyway, something could change in like acting in massive movies there or whatever. I think I've kind of parked the bus of acting, you know, like between everybody that's listening. Yeah. You know, I think I've kind of said to myself,
exclusive.
Like, I'm done. Okay. Yeah, I think I've probably signed out.
Oh, wow.
And I said, like, yeah, like, let me just go. Because acting, you can't control it. You're writing a sick script, you're writing a sick show, whatever, get a call. We need you for Marvel for 6 months in America. That script is left for another year.
Yeah.
You do well. Look, Scorsese saw a film. Like, he needs you in Italy for 5 months. Boom.
Yeah.
You can't write. You can't produce. You 100%. Can't. Like, myself and Anthony are meant to be doing something, but because now I'm getting commissions, like, I can't.
Mm.
You know, it's so tough, let alone even writing everything. But 100%. With acting, they're just like, we need you here. You have to fly out here. We're paying you money to fly out here, whatever. And you can try and write on the job, but it's so difficult to have your mind in. Because you want to do well at your acting job. You want to learn the accent, have empathy with a character, and then you have to try and write a whole new script where there's A story, B story, C story. I just thought, what makes sense now?
Yeah.
And it's writing and producing.
And acting isn't a joke. I think sometimes I've been offered acting roles, huge roles. We were speaking about one the other day.
Can you disclose any?
I wouldn't want to.
Okay.
Only cool. Because people listen, like, why did he do that?
Yeah.
But when I look at the role and then the film came out, I'm like, what? Man would have got, 3 seconds?
Mm.
And when I read the script, that's not the script. So already I'm looking at a big blockbuster film and I'm like, I could have really sacrificed
two, three months
of my tour to do this. And then you watch it when it comes out and then it gets cut. And then this person has two lines. He thought, right, that could have been me. You, man, come, we go to cinema. Do you know what? I'll tell you what, man's gonna hire the whole cinema. Here comes my scene. Bye bye. What? You not in it again, bro? Is that it?
And man start laughing like,
brother, man bought a Tango Ice Blaster and popcorn, cuz man is 15 miles down, cuz.
Bye bye, Mr. Bye bye.
For you to say bye bye.
Bye bye.
Nah, man.
Me.
Man.
I said bye bye.
And I think that for me is like, everyone's always said, oh, when are you gonna do acting? When are you gonna do acting? And I've always said it has to be the right time. I've got to be in a place in my life where everything I've wanted to accomplish within TV, comedy, and my own personal life can say, do you know what? I'd like to really step into this. But also, like, be in a place of acting where I've, like, I've really fought for that role. Mm. I've done that self-tape and I deserve that part. Not, this guy's great, Campbell Kent.
Mm.
He can play the geezer in the romantic comedy. What the hell? Why me?
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I think with the acting world, it can be sometimes, you know, the acting world is very hard. If you've gone and trained at, you know, one of these big drama schools and stuff like that, and then you've seen a singer go on tour and say, yeah, I fancy doing a bit of acting now, get a role, that must be so disheartening.
So okay, now my question is, it's it is disheartening. And I've always had this discussion with actor friends who are just like, oh, like, the way you see the way Dave's gone to Top Boy, like, like, they could have found somebody else to be like, no, I'm not understand, like, and he did a great job.
Yeah.
Like, you see the way Kane, obviously Kane is in his, he's earned his stripes, but let's not, you know, but Uncle Kane. No, see the way Kane was and Ashley was a musician. Kano was a musician, right? And some may say they still are musicians in their own right. I mean, Kano bought an album not too long ago.
Yeah.
Or Stormzy in adulthood, like, what? Wow, like, and the question is, and that line is like, did they always want to act or do they want to give it a shot? And some of them are actually good. So maybe, and this is a discussion that I have a lot with friends, should they have that opportunity? Is it wrong?
Well, I think it's a mixture of both because it's like for any music album, you need a couple features to sell it. Like, we have to remember this is a business. So if I've got a film and I'm going to cast some huge, you know, pop star in it, that's purely to sell it. So when people see the adverts and they say, oh my God.
How about she can act? Do you think that's still purely to sell it?
Say it again.
How about if no, now, I know it's purely to sell it, but 100%. If they can act, like but genuinely
if
act.
The role is small enough that it doesn't change the story or affect what you're watching that much, and it's more of a cameo essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't mind having a cameo if I need to sell this film.
Yeah.
So 100% I get that.
Yeah.
But then the other side is when you've got something quite a serious role and you're like, they don't need this person to play this.
Yeah, that one's like, yeah.
Now you should just cast a proper actor.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I know you're trying to sell it, but this person can't do the job that you're asking them to do. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's almost, I don't know. It's like, if it's like football. I'm bringing you on at extra time because you're a good penalty taker. Mm-hmm. Like, no offense.
No offense, but you're a good penalty taker. Like, you're
and it's not reason why I'm not starting you in the game because you're not good, but there's someone that's better in that position and they're going to stay in that position.
Yeah.
But I need you to come on after extra time and bang the penalty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To get us through to the next round. I think that's what it, when it comes down to films and entertainment, where I can see it from both sides. You know, when I look at something, I got a self-tape for something that's coming out recently.
Ooh.
I'll tell you after.
Go on.
And I didn't do it because I thought, this role isn't for me.
Yeah.
Someone else should get this who would really want it. I was super busy at the time. And then I seen, like, you know, I was reading the script. I was like, oh, it's good. I can see what they've done, but this isn't for me. There should be someone who really wants this and deserves it that's going to appreciate this opportunity more than I will. Because I'm kind of getting this on merit. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Mo would be great for this.
Copper can.
And I'm reading it and I'm like, no, I'm not. This isn't me. Let this new young actor get this and him be so excited for this role.
And do well, yeah.
And then it's so mad because I've seen the advert that comes out on TV now and I'm like, whoa, so glad I didn't do that, man.
Mm.
And it's not because it's bad,
yeah.
But it's just not me.
It's not you.
And I think there is also anticipation for like myself or yourself. If you're saying, you know, I want to get in this space of directing, you know, there's an element of, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
I want to see what he's going to do, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a justice that you have to make for yourself and your audience to be like, yeah, I want this to bang for the guys that have really backed me and been there and say, yeah, man, I'm going to take some time to go and watch this film. And I think I owe, you know, anyone who likes my stuff and supports it to really give them that. And as opposed to being like, yeah, check this film out, man's in it.
Because
then it's like, yeah, like, I feel a bit bad now.
Because
man's in it for like...
And for 2 seconds.
30 seconds.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, what does the future hold? Where do you see yourself in like the next 5 years? Because I feel like with what you're saying, you know, you don't want to do the acting. You want to get really into writing and directing. You have an eye and a way that you talk about things.
Yeah.
Like I've said it before on the pod when I was speaking to Munya. I get very geeky when I talk about characters and development.
I love
talking about that stuff.
Oh, mate.
With people I can talk about and they get it and stuff. Mate. And
can't get enough of
it. I think the reason why I say, where do you want to be in the next 5 years? Because I do real feel like you're in a really unique position that not a lot of people get, where you have a huge body of work.
Yeah.
That is something that a lot of people, it's the benchmark.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They can put a clip up of yourself on like GRMD or LinkUp. And the comments are always like, why did this guy go? This guy was the best. No one can top this guy.
Yeah.
And stuff. So you have this huge body of work, which is like the benchmark. That's what everyone is trying to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'll be honest, when I was watching like some of your stuff and I was like, I had an idea to have like a hood doc type thing with like the geezer.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do that because that someone's already existed. Yeah, that already is its thing. and I'll be cheating.
Man's
doing L1 square down 255.
Then one there.
If I do, and I was like, that's just not it. And then weirdly enough, I done the tour. I ended up going on tour. But I had this idea of like, because I think I could see it was possible.
Yeah.
I could see you could create like a kind of mockumentary, documentary thing, put it on YouTube and it could be like 30 minutes and it could work.
It could work, yeah.
And I was like, I want to do that. But then I was like, no, someone's already got that. That's his thing.
Yeah.
I don't want people to be comparing mine or his. That's not fair. That's his work.
Mm.
And then it's not fair on me when people are like, no, but we tried to cap my man. And I'm like, no, I didn't, blood. Yeah. I was inspired by him.
Yeah.
So the reason why I say like, where—
that's a very good point.
What do you want to do in the next— where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Because you have this huge body of work. You know, you are the benchmark for a lot of young creatives out there.
That's nice of you.
And if they say, nah, I'm not, you're lying. I don't care, you're lying. And everyone wants to be a meme. I don't care if what creative you are, you want to be. I wanted to be a meme. I said, this couple can still let this blow, bro.
Yeah.
Come on, man, drink it and I'll let it blow, bro. But I think you're in this unique position where you're not, you know, you're not attached to a co-sign, you're not attached to a label, a production company. I know you've got your own, but you're not attached to anything.
Yeah.
So you're very free in that sense. So Spielberg could call you and say, hey man, I really want you to work on this. I've seen what you've done with that. And I think for us, we'd all sit there and be like, well, that's right. Of course you should be doing that.
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Do you know, I think, I don't know. I don't really think.
Where would you want to see yourself?
I think I would want to see myself like wholeheartedly, like hand on my heart. I want to see myself investing in young people.
Yeah.
Young people in terms of the mental aspect of helping them just go on that straight and narrow and you know, have the right in there, where whatever that writing needs to be. But I think my heart is definitely within my walk with God and wanting to do more around the world and let people know more about the gospel, and let people know about more about Christ. And even if they don't want to know more about Christ, letting them understand that, you know, there's a different way of living in comparison to how you're living now. And that's the faith side, but on the work side again, just making stuff with people and collaborating with people. I think Daniel Kaluuya, he said something in his BAFTA speech one time that I was just like, yes, that's because I know Daniel would like, we're cool. And we get along. And I just like, why do I get along with this guy so well? Like, what is it about him? And I don't know what it is about him, but I realize it's just because he's accepted that he's different. And he said in his speech, like, I want to thank his agent and said, thank you for letting me think differently. And I think people that, you know, that gravitate to it are those who like to think different. Like, oh, let's try and shoot this scene backwards. Like, let me go and check what the budget is saying, or let me check. Let me go and watch Tenet. I'm coming back. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking, I just like being around people that think differently, like Kyle, Anthony, like Thea, people that I work with a lot of the time. I just say, these guys just think outside the box. Like, they just think differently. Like, I just want to do it. I just like making stuff that's different. And I think my future, when it comes to the writing side or the creating side, is probably going to be around that side of like, let's try and tell a new story. I think what Shara's story did was amazing. Some may say, well, it's another story, but I think what they did and how they did it was beautiful. A very simple story that made you feel like, oh my gosh, you know, it made you feel. And I just where is that new story for young people that watch YouTube? You know, like all the time. They watch it all the time. I know Philly is out there and they're doing the stuff. Big up Chunks, Philly, and all these guys that are doing, that's great. But those are all like game shows, talk shows. Where's that new narrative piece that you'd be like, yo, like, I need to watch episode 2. Like, where's that new web series out there? Then the problem why a lot of producers don't like to make it, because it costs a lot of money, you know? And I think that world, that online world, is a world that I've been looking at and thinking, where is that? And not always comedy. Where's that new drama, you know, web series? Where is that? That new drama web series? Like, remember Keisha Diskette, for example?
Yeah.
Like, that old back in the day. Like, where's that feeling again of that story where it's like, have you not seen this? Like, have you not seen this story?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where I've been keeping my eye on for a little bit, thinking, what stories could work online? You know, what story? I'm really interested in people not just looking at, like, entertainment as, like, oh, game shows, talk shows. Love Island is taking over the world now. But I'm thinking online, all right, where's that narrative, those narrative stories that's not real, but you're watching it thinking, oh, that's a great episode. That's a great episode. That's, I think for my future,
that online world is the future.
Yeah.
And to think otherwise, I think TVs is, with my audience anyways, is, unless it's a game show like Love Island or whatever, I think it's becoming a bit outdated. Everyone's watching stuff online on demand.
Mm.
So I think that's the plan. With writing and producing, that's the direction I'm going into. And faith-based work, content, I'm trying to make more of that. And I know in America they have a lot of that. I know Tyler Perry is doing his stuff there and companies are doing different kind of stuff there. But in the UK, I don't think it's really prevalent. There's nothing really there like with the faith-based market. There's a few people like Four Stories and people like that, but that kind of, you know, over, this is faith-based Christian. If you don't like it, that's great. But it will still look nice.
Yeah.
And you can appreciate it. You know, you can do quite like, oh, what did you, an Ari? That's a good scene. I mean, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Muslim. You know, I'm not, whatever. I do my thing, I'm an atheist. But I can't deny that the story is banging. You know, that's 100%. The vibe I'm going down. So that's it. More stuff with young people to do with church and my faith, pushing that. That's at the forefront, I think, of my career and where my heart is. Job-wise, looking at the online world, producing work for that, writing work for that. TV world, I'm still writing stuff. I got some commissions kind of percolating in the background. I need to sort out a few things. So just trying to get script commissions down and run my company. But that's the plan, I think, now for me.
Yeah. But no, honestly, Kay, man, it's been such a really fun chat, because it's like, I like the way that you see your world.
Yeah.
See, like, you know, the creative aspect of like our industry, in a sense.
And
I don't know, it's just, I think it's weird. I could imagine there's a lot of people said, no, I thought there'd be more jokes in this, bro.
Yeah.
These are jokers.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important that that we have these conversations about, you know, that one, I guess for me, I'm massively passionate of getting, you know, black UK comedy out there in the world.
And bro, congratulations. You know, like, you're doing your thing.
Thank you so much, man.
I think you're really,
I really appreciate
I think
that, man.
The way you're doing it and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having this conversation as well, like the way you're still making work online, and you don't have to, but the way you're still doing the stuff online and you're doing your tour, I think what you're doing is very, it's like you haven't forgotten where you've come from.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you have to always pay homage to where you come from. You could have hated coming from the estate. You know, could have been bullied. You could have been rushed every single day. You know what I mean? You don't have to pay homage to that estate. Like, you know,
man's from the ends, probably hate it. Used to punch him up, cuz.
Do you know what I mean? You don't have to pay homage, but I think how you're doing it and the way you've done it, and not in a way where it's like, you need me, so let's do it. Mm. Anytime I talk to you, and even on here, it feels like a collaboration. It feels like, oh, I'm putting you on, bro, because you need me. It's just like, I want to know, like, people don't know stuff about you, Kayode. Like, I want to know about you. And I think how you've been doing that, it's really, I wouldn't say groundbreaking is a word I'm looking for. It's really profound.
Yeah.
It's really profound.
No, big ups, man. I think that's a beautiful way to end this podcast. This has been such a fun conversation. If you did enjoy it, make sure you use, obviously, Twitter and all that good stuff. Use the hashtag The Mo Gilligan Podcast. Make sure you follow myself and Kay on all the socials. Thank you for listening. Take care. And enjoy your day. I don't normally sign off with the pod, innit?
How do you sign off?
I normally say take care and we'll see you next week. But today we'll say enjoy your day, innit? Might be your night though, so.
Whenever you're listening.
Could be listening to this at 1 a.m. Could be listening to this at 1 in the afternoon. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Take care and peace.
Bye-bye.
What's up, people? You're listening to the Mo Gilligan Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you use the hashtag The Mo Gilligan Podcast.